Okay, who and why was it named the Mosquito?
Might have to pass that one on. Does anyone know? Why was it called the Mosquito?
Well, I think all the Havilland airplanes were named after bugs, weren't they? Yes, and maybe this was the last of the bugs. I don't know, but...
That's annoying bug.
Well, you know, of course, the nice thing about us, we can make up something and you guys won't know where we're telling the truth anyway. But the thing, it was aptly named because it really was irritating like a mosquito. It was small, and it would come in, and they would do harassment raids with it. So it really, really was aptly named as a mosquito. Is there anything else I could get for you guys to add to it that you'd like to?
Yeah, I'd just like to congratulate the boys down in New Zealand. They did a magnificent job on this, and I'm not sure. I think the United States is the greatest country in the world. But I'm not sure that this airplane would have ever gotten built here in the United States. It is really loved by the British and all the Commonwealth countries, and it's admired by everybody else. And I want to congratulate Warren and Avspecs, his company, on the wonderful job that he did. And we worked so hard in finding all these different parts that we had to put together into this massive puzzle. I look at the airplane today, and it looks more beautiful than I would have ever thought that it would. And every little piece on there was a search that we spent hours looking for. So thank you very much, Warren, and congratulations.
Well, in line with that, we also need to thank Jerry for preserving this airplane. There's only two of these airplanes flying. The other one's in Canada. There's 38 of them registered, which may only be data plates around the world. Supposedly, there's one in a museum in China, but nobody can prove that. But we need to really thank Jerry for preserving this for the rest of the, for our children, our grandchildren, so people would know what World War II was about for the Allies. So thank you very much, Jerry. We're gonna have a little question and answer here for just a few minutes. And Danny, can you come over? We'll get you. Danny Boland here will be handling the mic for you folks out there. And after this is over with, we've got a collector's coin for our veterans. How many veterans do we have out here, by the way? Okay. Anybody would like one of these coins? A little bit bigger than a 50-cent piece, but it's provided by the Fagan Fighters World War II Museum in Granite Falls, Minnesota. We want to thank them for that. So later on, there'll be, if you'll come over here, there we'll have people that'll be handing them out for you, to you. Okay. Do we have any questions out here? Danny?
Okay. Before I do that, Sam, I want to thank Sam Bass for being a moderator for the last 14 years. I was the lead moderator for all that time, and Sam has worked tirelessly along with my other moderators, Dr. Bill Harrison and Mike Hastings. I want to thank those guys for all the hard work they've done over the years. Thank you. And I'm going to take questions from this section first, and then I'm going to go this way and this way. That way I don't have to run all over. We get more questions that way.
Okay.
Okay, right here in this section. How do you mount a Rolls-Royce engine to a wooden wing?
Warren's going to answer that.
Well, what you might not realize is the main spar in the Mosquito is nearly 6 inches thick. So because it's made out of wood, it's extremely thick and it's laminated up. So I guess the bottom and top and bottom booms are like 6 inches square. And there's big metal fittings that are bolted with long, long bolts onto either side of the middle of the spar, and then the engine is mounted onto these metal fittings. So everywhere that there is something attached to it, there are many, many long bolts to distribute the load over a big area. They also used phenolic or Tufnell sheet as a sort of hole reinforcement. Anywhere there was a bolt that went through the woodwork, there would be a piece of phenolic glued on as well, so that the bolt holes would withstand the vibration of the engine. But basically lots and lots of long bolts.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you could speak to the Pathfinder role as the Mosquito was used.
Yeah, I think initially the Pathfinders used bombers of the same type, namely the Lancaster, but they just found that it's kind of not terribly maneuverable and quite a big target, and they took quite a few losses with the Lancaster in that role. When they started using the Mosquito, it was just so much more agile, such a smaller target, so much faster. it was just a huge breakthrough. It made life just an awful lot easier. So guys like Leonard Cheshire, who was the CEO of 617 Squadron, he sort of flew that almost exclusively in the Pathfinder mission, and it was just a much better airplane, much better suited to that. Incidentally, I remember listening to a interview with Cheshire, and he was talking about how on one occasion, marking a target, he ended up in a vertical dive, getting the mosquito up to 500 miles an hour before the bomb came up. And so it's a very strong, very fast airplane, and as every other role that undertook, it was very successful at the Pathfinder role.
I was just wondering if there's any talk of restoring the other mosquito on the field.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. It doesn't belong to the EAA, so I really don't know.
I spoke to the owner a few months ago, and he certainly seemed interested, but not to the point where it's going to happen next week, I think, but it seemed to be on his agenda.
Was the Mosquito ever equipped to carry the rolling dam buster bomb, or was that just for the Lancasters?
That was just a fit for the Lancaster. It's too big to fit into a Mosquito. Although they did develop a smaller bomb called Highball that they're going to use against the Japanese fleet towards the end of the war. And that was developed to the point where it was sort of operational, but then the war ended before they could use it. So there was a bouncing bomb fitted to the Mosquito.
Was it used a lot in the Pacific?
No, I don't believe. Actually, it was used in Burma and in the Middle East, China sort of thing. I don't think they got as far as the Pacific. They're about to go there with a Highball thing. And of course, also they made a carrier-borne version, so it was going to head out to with the British fleet on a carrier, which just seems remarkable. You imagine like landing one of these things on a carrier.
Hi, two questions, please. I wanted to know how many of the metal components on the aircraft had to be remanufactured from scratch. And also, are you familiar with the Mosquito that's under restoration in Victoria, British Columbia?
Well, surprisingly little metal work had to be remade. I guess the biggest thing that we had to make for this airplane were the cowlings. We didn't get any cowlings with it. The engines for it came from an ex-RNZAF Mosquito that we found in Australia. And they came with all their, still on their original engine bearers, with all their original pipework, so that was a great find for us. So, yes, the cowlings we had to remake, but pretty much all the other metalwork is original Mosquito, not necessarily all from this aeroplane, but the majority of it was from this aeroplane, the canopy frame and all of the, everything in the cockpit. In fact, it's remarkable how much stuff was in the cockpit. There were still instruments in the cockpit of the wrecked aeroplane that had, survived the 70 years of being parked outside and used as a children's plaything. And there were still instruments in it, original instruments still in the instrument panel. I think the airplane you're referring to in British Columbia is a B-35, and it flew. It has an original wooden airframe, so obviously that particular airplane had been kept inside for a lot longer in its life, and the woodwork was deemed by the people that were restoring it to be good enough to retain a certain percentage of it, so it's flying with its majority of its original woodwork as well, which is fantastic that it can do that. Just exactly how long a life it will have is kind of anybody's guess. As long as the termites keep holding hands, I guess it'll be all right. But apart from a few kind of interesting little bits that have been incorporated in this aeroplane, pieces of wood, none of the wood was usable again.
You just answered part of my question, because my question was pertaining to the engines and propellers. Are the engines British or Canadian? And what challenges, since you just talked about the engines, what challenges did the propellers present you?
The great thing about restoring airplanes nowadays is that so many of the popular airplanes have the Rolls-Royce Merlin, and that there are lots and lots of Rolls-Royce Merlin spares and lots of knowledge about rebuilding them. These engines are British Rolls-Royce engines out of a New Zealand Mosquito, and they were overhauled in California by Vintage V12s, who overhaul a lot of the Merlin engines that you'll see around. But because it's British, it has a different propeller shaft and a different spline to an American installation, So these propellers, although they are hydromatic propellers, like you would see on a lot of other airplanes, they are a de Havilland-built hydromatic propeller. So they have a slightly different sort of oil transfer arrangement, a different spline, to make it so that you can't interchange it with anything else, which is kind of a bit British. There were some challenges in finding the parts because there's very few engines in multi-engine airplanes with a hydromatic propeller on it. The only other real main one is the Lancaster. So these are basically the same as a Lancaster propeller would be. Some of the parts are a bit hard to get, but you don't have to make anything anyway, which is good.
Hi, I am actually British, from England, and live in the area where a lot of these were made in the local furniture shops. It's always been my favourite aircraft, ever since being a little boy. And my question really, first of all, I need to thank the Americans for coming over to Britain during the Second World War, because without you, I don't think we'd have won. Without everybody. The question I've got, I was speaking to somebody before, and the rumour was that the Americans were considering changing out the B-17 and using these, because you could do two bombing runs in the time it took a B-17 to do one. And I think the bomb load of 500-pound bombs, you could take about 3,000 pounds. So the question is there any truth in that? Do you know anything about that?
I think a common comparison made with the B-17 was that this airplane could take the same load as a B-17, but of course a lot less war material involved in getting it over to Germany. I mean, instead of needing a crew of 8 or 9 or 10 and a four-engine metal airplane, you just got an airplane with two crew and a stack of timber to build it, and it can take the same weight of bombs into Germany.